how do you know if you're healthy? Yes, you can test your blood pressure, screen for certain cancers, check your body mass index, but can you get a better picture of your overall health? Science reporter Helen Thomson gathers some of the new thinking for gauging health in a fascinating article in the British online journal New Scientist. Now, we know some of you may be taking notes as you listen. Remember, many of these ideas aren't yet covered by insurance, and you might want to check with your personal physician as you go. But Helen's journey was inspired by an upcoming big birthday as she started wondering, am I really healthy? How do I find out? She writes about health and biotech for New Scientist. Her books include Unthinkable, An Extraordinary Journey Through the World's Strangest Brains. And she joins us now from New York. Helen, welcome.
Hi.
You started this exploration when you were hitting, I think it was the big 4-0. You know, you realized your average weight, blood pressure is spot on, knee scan showed joints to be sufficiently well oiled, lucky you, and started thinking about this. What were you thinking?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, I was probably having an early midlife crisis when I was approaching my 40th birthday. It occurred to me that I just wanted to know whether I was healthy or not, then improve my health. And it just came as a real surprise to me that it's actually really difficult to find out if you're healthy or not. And it seems like the simplest question in the world to answer. But if you actually dig down into the detail of it, it's surprisingly difficult. So in the UK, if you asked your doctor, am I healthy, they'd probably start with a BMI test to tell you whether you're healthy weight or not, or a blood pressure test, perhaps. And we actually know now that BMI is a really flawed test because we're not quite sure what counts as overweight. And some recent studies showed that people who are in the supposedly overweight category actually live longer than people in the highest level of the healthy weight category. Right. So there's lots of confusion over that test at the moment. And while blood pressure can show your risk of heart problems, it can flag anemia, it misses a lot of other health markers. And it just got me thinking, well, what's a better gauge of health?
Right. And we'll get to those in a second. But I just want to have mentioned that, yes, the BMI tests we're now finding are flawed. However, a higher weight can lead to type 2 diabetes. So there are reasons to take that test, keeping in mind that they're not the end-all, be-all. A blood pressure cuff can find out if your blood pressure is way too high. But talk about some of the newer things that you found. You spoke to a geneticist in London about the human biome.
Yeah, so your microbiome, particularly your gut microbiome, has been linked to several states of health and disease. So we know it's linked to obesity, it's linked to depression, many mental health conditions. And there's been strong evidence to suggest that, you know, having a healthy gut means you have a healthy body as well. And so I asked people who work with the microbiome whether that was a good test for health. Many of them agreed that it was. You can test your microbiome through several different companies.
What is the test? What do you do?
It's a fecal sample.
Oh.
You send it off and they test what bacteria is present and then they send you back your results. That's
okay.
Essentially it, whatever company you go for.
Well, I'm glad I asked. Carry on. What did you find and what are you looking for when you get that test?
Most recently, the best we've been able to say is that you should have a really good diversity of bacteria in your gut. And we know that the bigger diversity of bacteria, the healthier you are. But now Tim Spector has actually identified 50 good and 50 bad types of bacteria. And the balance of those two appears to be a good indicator of health.
This is Tim Spector. He's the geneticist at King's College London and who's been spending his life doing this.
Yes. So the best advice so far is just to try and get the most diverse set of bacteria you can.
Right.
And that's by eating, you know, a large range of whole foods, fermented foods, and that helps you get the most diverse range of bacteria.
Right. And you can do some research on that. Another recommendation is to test your biological age compared to your chronological age. You took a glycan age test. These are complex carbohydrates that attach to molecules in the body. I know this because I'm reading your article. But so tell us more about this and what happened for you.
So yeah, you can measure your biological age in lots of different ways. Different parts of your body age at different rates to your chronological age.
Huh.
And my glycan age was about 13 years younger than my actual age.
Yay.
Which was a good result because we know that people who have high cholesterol and other markers of bad health also have an older glycan age.
And by the way, these tests that you're mentioning, you can pay for them. There are ways for you to, mm-hmm. you know, from reputable companies pay for them. How about immune resilience? You said something in this article that I feel the same way. I think I'm kind of healthy. I get colds all the time. Someone I know very well doesn't ever. So how do you test your immune resilience and how do you boost it?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one for me because my husband never gets colds and I always do. And so I thought, is that a sign? Is that one of these signs that he's healthier than I am? And I asked a researcher, Sunil Ahuja, at the University of Texas. He's been doing this study looking at people's immune systems and seeing if we can grade them. And he has looked at the ratio between two types of immune cells called T cells. Mm. And he found that people who had high levels of CD4, which is associated with having a resilient immune system, and low levels of CD8, which is associated with inflammation, he found that those who had a good ratio were more able to avoid symptoms of flu, more likely to resist getting HIV. They were less likely to die of COVID. They had a bigger gap between skin cancers and they had longer lifespans in general. So he could grade people on these on this ratio and say, okay, you're a grade one, you've got a very healthy immune system, or you're grade four and you have a very unhealthy immune system. He said that it might even be a better measure of how somebody's going to react to, say, COVID than age.
We know so much more about the importance of T cells. And you're, just to underscore what you just said, there's two types they looked at. One, I understand, resilience. The other one, inflammation. It's so interesting because we think of inflammation as a negative. It can cause such negative problems. But if it's just enough to help eliminate pathogens, it's good for you. And you come out with that good grade. So there's that. If you get a low grade, what can you do?
Well, this is all very early research and none of this has been published yet, but the same researcher did have a look at whether exercise could help improve people's immune grade. So he took a small group of people and he gave them a 24-week exercise regime and he took their immune grade at the beginning and throughout and then at the end. And he found that everybody's immune grade improved. But the key thing here was that at the end of the study, he gave them a 2-week break and they stopped exercising. And at the end of that 2-week break, the whole group's immune grade went back to their baseline, their original immune grade, wow. Which basically says, you know, exercise might help, but it needs to be consistent.
Wow. And by the way, you can test your immune grade with a blood test. But just a quick kind of lightning round at the end here, because I love seeing you have a few things at the end that can help you judge your health. Your grip. There was just a piece about this in the New York Times Science section. Your hand grip. If you start losing that grip, that strength, that, as you write, can be a more powerful predictor of dying from cardiovascular disease than blood pressure. It's associated with falling, cognitive problems, aging faster. I mean, should you walk around with one of those grip things or should you check why you're losing your grip and fix that?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because we do know these associations between grip and all these different problems, insomnia, depression, risk of falls, cognitive problems. But whether you can increase your grip and then prevent some of those things, it's a bit of a complex one.
Yeah. And skin, wrinkles in particular, they are not just a result of aging, they're a cause of it because they produce cells that spew out chemicals that you write that flow around the body doing damage. If you get rid of the wrinkles through some cosmetic process, is that going to get rid of the problem?
Well, that's a really interesting question because this is really new research that shows that we all think that wrinkles are a sign of aging, but actually they might be a cause of aging as well. The new studies are showing that as your skin degrades, it actually releases, we call them kind of zombie cells that release chemicals around the body that cause damage. And so actually improving your skin condition might be a way of preventing aging to some extent. But this is all really new research and needs to be studied further.
Well, it's just another reason to start young wearing
sunblock. Yeah, exactly. Right. You should be looking after your skin anyway.
That's author and health reporter Helen Thompson. Her latest article in the British journal New Scientist is Are You Truly Healthy? These tests provide the ultimate checkup. We always say check with your doctor. They may have a different opinion on that, or they may want you to try. Helen, thank you, and congratulations on your, what sounds like, terrific health.
Thank you.